by looking, we're going to start by looking at the presentation on logical if structures. Okay, remember I told you there are three things that you need to be able to handle if you're going to call yourself a programming language. And one of them is sequence. And one of them is decisions. So I need to have sequence. I need to have decisions. And I need to be able to do loops. Okay? So I need to be able to go through the program and drop down one instruction at a time. I need to be able to make decisions about how I want to process. If this is true, do this. If this is true, do that. And you've already seen a lot about decisions in Access, because that's what Access is all about, is making decisions as to what you're seeing. And then you want to have loops. Now, in Access, loops were automatic. If you gave a series of criteria, it looped through every record by itself behind the scenes and came up with the records that met the criteria. So it was handling decisions and it was handling loops. Now we're going to look at doing those more in a programming language, which we will start probably next week. So the first thing I'm looking at is this presentation on logical if structures. Okay. So basically this just runs through flowcharts and pseudocodes for if statements. I was sick most of last week, so I am behind. Sooner or later I will get caught up, but most of you are behind too, so there we have it. Anyway, if amount is greater than 5,000, I want to do something. If not, I don't want to do anything. Okay, so this is a simple flowchart of if amount is greater than 5,000, then I want to do a calculation down there. And that's the end of the if. So this is the pseudocode. And this is the logic flowchart. So I'm saying, if it's true, do this. Else, do nothing. And so there is no else in here in the pseudocode because the else is do nothing. Okay, so I don't have to write the word else if I'm not going to do anything. Again, this is an assignment sign. Okay, that is an assignment sign. Because I'm saying, take amount, multiply it by 10, and assign the answer over here to answer. So I'm assigning it to answer. Okay? Answer is getting it, the result. Okay. Okay. So that's a very simple if statement. And now we'll move on to the next one.
Just a quick question.
Yeah.
For the assignment sign, how is that different than equals?
Because it's not necessarily equal. For example, I can write up here, count equals count plus one. Okay?
Right.
Count does not equal count plus one. Those are not equality.
Oh, because of what count will be.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
I mean, if count is a five, five does not equal five plus six,
okay.
Plus one rather. It equals, I would have, if this count was a five, okay, so I have a memory variable called count. And if it has a 5 in it, this would be saying, if it was an equal sign, 5 equals 5 plus 1. Well, that's not true. But if I take count of five, add one to it, so five plus one, and assign that over here to count, count has now become six. So I'm assigning the result of the calculation to the field. And it's obvious when the field is on the left and the right is both count. That makes it obvious. It's not obvious when I'm just saying take them out, multiply by 10, and put it into answer. But it's still an assignment sign. Because that's what it's saying is take them out, multiply to 10, and put it into answer. Assign it to answer. You know, put the result into answer. Okay, the next one has a no. So I'm saying check the decision. If it's true, do one thing. If it's false, do another. And this involves using the else. If it's true, do one calculation. Else, which is the no. Else is the no. Else, do the other thing. Okay, so else is the no. And then I end it with an end if. Okay. Now there are two kinds of languages. One that does it very much the way I've done it here in pseudocode. And the other that would say if and put the condition here and have curly braces that contain what you do if it's true and curly brace at the bottom. And then you say else, and you have a curly brace and what you want to do if it's false, and a curly brace at the bottom. And those two kinds of languages, and we'll look at one of each. One of them has the if-else, if-end-if structure, and the other has curly braces around what's true and what's false. Okay, and those are just two ways of expressing it. And we'll look at a language that does it both ways. Okay, now this one is saying basically, if inventory code is A, then ask about amount. If it's not, I'm out of here. So if inventory code is A, and if amount is greater than 5,000, I'm moving the word OK to message. Okay. So this is very much like what you would have done in Access. Under the field called inventory code, you would have put an A. Under the field called amount, you would have put a greater than 5,000. And you would have put them both on the same line because it's an and relationship. And over here, instead of saying move OK, it would be the automatic display it in the list. Okay? So that kind of structure you've seen in Access. Both statements must be true to get OK. And what I'm doing is saying I've got a field called message. Move OK to message. And this should have had a closed quote on it. Okay. Again, in pseudocode, you get away with sloppiness to a little degree because pseudocode is for people. It's not for machines. If I then translated this into a language and I had a LIFL that had an open quote with no closed quote, the language is going to point that out to me and say, you got to fix it. Okay, I'm not comprehending. But people can pretty much look at that and say, she forgot the close okay, the close quotes. Now, this can also be written as a compound. So I can say, if inventory code equals A, and amount is greater than 5,000, move OK to message. so it can be written as a compound. It can be written with separate if statements, or it can be written as a compound. And either one of them will work. Ask me questions if you have them. Yeah.
Why is 2 in one side written T-O and 2 in the other side written T-0?
Say that again.
On the right-hand side, it's 2 is written with T-0.
The pseudocode.
Okay. Because I can't type. All right. Most stupid things that you see are because I did something stupid. It's not because the language did. Okay? So clearly, and I've never even noticed this one before. So clearly I hit the 0 here as opposed to the O. Okay? You gotta write me off as far as being precise is concerned. That's why I like compilers, because they come back and tell me all the stupid things I did. Okay? It's a wonderful world. And that's why I like students, too. They come back and tell me all the stupid things I do.
I don't see the difference between this one and the one before it, except they have different colors.
This one has a compound. The one before it just did the simple ifs. It didn't show the compound. The purpose of this slide was to say you can also do it with a compound. You can do it with the simple ifs. You can also do it with a compound. I copied and pasted this part from the previous slide, including the missing quotes. This one I wrote, and I managed to get the quotes in, but I changed the O to a 0. Okay. So, after a while, you get to kind of figure it out. Figure out me, if nothing else. Okay. In this one, I want to write out the word problem. If it doesn't meet criteria. So if inventory code is equal to A, I want to continue on and ask about amount. But if inventory code doesn't equal A, I want to just move problem to the message. Now, if inventory code is A and amount is greater than 5,000, I'm going to move OK. If inventory code is A, but amount didn't make it, it's not greater than 5,000, I want to move problem. So in other words, if the code is A, and the amount is greater than 5,000, I want to move OK. Anything else, I want to move problem. Okay. Now, the way I can write this is, if inventory code equals A, and then I come and I follow the yes track. If amount is greater than 5,000, move OK to message. Okay? Else. Now the else here goes with the else right there. Okay? Because I asked about is amount greater than 5,000. If it's not, I move problem to message. And then I close this if statement. So the end if gets closed. Then I go back and I pick up the else for the inventory code equals A. And if that is not true, I move problem to message. If that is not true, I move problem to message. And that closes the end if over there. So I've got two questions that I need to ask. Is the inventory code A? Is the amount greater than 5,000? If I get a yes to both of them, then I move okay to message. If I get a no to either of them, I move problem to message. Now, the fact that the no's are the same allows me to do a compound. Because I say, if it's A and amount is greater than 5,000, move okay. Else, move problem. Because they both want me to move the word problem. I don't care which thing was wrong. I'm moving out the word problem. And because they both require the same thing, or they both allow the same thing, move problem, then I can make this a compound. If these were different messages, I could not make it a compound. Okay? If they were different messages, I could not make it a compound. Because how would I do that? Let's say that this one was, I want to move to low to message. I want to move to low to message. Well, over here, that's an easy fix. I can change this and just put in move to low to message. So that's an easy fix. But over here, where I've got an else move problem, whoops, I want to move problem sometimes, but I want to move too low the other time. What am I going to put here? And so the answer is I can't have a compound because I don't have a clear answer of what to put here. Okay? So that's a problem. So if I change that and I have different messages, then I'm going to have to use if statements that ask each question individually as opposed to a compound. Is anybody buying that? You're buying it. Okay, I've got one buy, two buys. Questions. Because this is just a key point. And if you don't understand it now, ask it now so that you won't be lost for the rest of the hour and the rest of the course and the rest of eternity. Okay? So if you have a question, ask it now. That's right. That's a long time. So ask it now. At least one of you is lying by not asking the question.
I guess I'll ask you.
Okay. All right. I begged. Okay. Moving on. This one also cannot be a compound. Because I have the same thing, if inventory code is A, if amount is greater than 5,000, move OK. But if inventory code is not A, I'm doing nothing. And if amount is not greater than 5,000, I want to move problem. So I've got different things that I want to do on the no's. The no's are different. So that means I can't do a compound. Because if I put them together and then said else, what do I put in? Okay. So I have to ask them separately. So is inventory code equal A? If it is, I continue. If it's not, I go right down to the end if. If inventory code is A, when I continue, I ask, is amount greater than 5,000? If it is, I move OK to message. Else, I move problem to message. Okay? And that okay to message without the close quote will continue to haunt because I'm a very good copier and paster. Okay? So eventually, I may end up putting a quote in there. But it always needs a closed quote. Okay? Questions? Okay. So if an else isn't needed, if I have nothing to do, I don't need an else. So I don't have an else there. I just drop straight down to end the if. So if the code isn't A, I'm out of here. And I will do sequentially whatever comes after the if. Okay? If code is an A, then I have another question to ask. And I will have a response depending on whether I get a yes or a no to that question. Okay. Questions?
This is just pseudo.
This is just pseudo. But in fact, I really like flowcharts to figure out the logic. But sometimes I end up doing both because pseudocode is a good way to put it out into code. Now, if you're very comfortable with the language you're in, then you probably don't even I don't bother with the pseudocode. But it depends on your comfort level with the language that you're working with. You know, at one point, people decided that programming could be divided up into two parts, the logic and the coder. Guess who was highest paid? The logic person. Because figuring out the logic is the hard part. Once you got the logic, if you know the language, it's easy to turn it into the language. Okay? If you've got the logic worked out. Then they decided, in fact, they were too intermingled to really break up. But it was kind of interesting that the logic part was the one that was going to be the higher paid one. Okay, so now I come over to the next one down. And on this one, I've got two different things on the no. So since I've got two different things on the no, I cannot make a compound. If inventory code is not A, I drop right down to its else, and I move bad code to message and end. If inventory code is A, I continue on and say, is amount greater than 500? And depending on the answer there, I either move okay or problem to the message. Yes, no, maybe?
Yes.
Yeah. I got one yes. Stop me and ask me questions if you need a question answered. Somebody else in the room will appreciate it. Okay, now I'm switching over to an OR relationship. Everything we've been looking at before was an AND relationship. I wanted code A and amount greater than 5,000. Now I've decided that either one is okay. So I'm asking, is code A? If it is, move okay to message. If it's not, I've got a second chance. Is amount greater than 5,000? If it is, move okay to message. If it's not, do nothing. Okay? So now I've come up and I've written the code for that. If inventory code equals A, move okay to message. Else, which is the no branch, ask about amount. Is amount greater than 500? If it is 5,000, move okay to message. If it's not, I have nothing to do, so I don't have an else on that inner if. I just have end the if. Okay. So, if inventory code equals A, I move okay, and then I'm done, so I drop out. It's only if I have an else that I ask another question. Questions? this one could also be turned into a compound. Because if inventory code equals A, or amount is greater than 5,000, move OK to message. So if either of them is true, move OK to message. If neither of them is true, I have nothing to do. I only want to respond if one of them is true. Okay, so this again goes back to access. If I put inventory code on the criteria line, an amount greater than 5,000 on the OK on the OR line, and change this to say display record, then if either the code was an A or the amount was greater than 5,000, I would display the record. Okay. Okay, now on this one, I am saying, if inventory code is okay, is A rather, move okay. If amount is greater than 5,000, move okay. If it's not, then move problem. Okay, so this is the code. If inventory code is A, move okay. Else, if it's not, check them out. If amount is greater than 5,000, move OK. Else, if it's not, move problem. Okay, now notice how these ifs and end ifs work. If, else, so if it's true, I do that. I don't take the else. I just drop right out. So if inventory code is A, I move OK and I drop out. Only if inventory code is not A, so I take the else. And then I ask, is it greater than 5,000? If it is, move OK. Else, move problem, end that if. Okay. How the end ifs work is important. An else always attaches itself back, upward, back, to the first available if that's not taken. So this if can attach there. Okay. This else can attach there. It couldn't attach up there because something else has got it, but it wouldn't be able to go to the first available if. Okay. This one can be turned into a compound. Because I can say, if code is A, or amount is greater than 5,000, move OK. Otherwise, move problem. Okay? So if this is true, move OK. If it's true, move OK. If no, move problem. So I can say, if it's A, or amount is greater than 5,000, OK. Else, problem. Okay? So that can be turned into a compound. Everything can always be done with simple ifs. Some things can be done with a compound, other things can't. But you're always safe with simple ifs. Okay. Can this one be a compound?
No.
No. And the reason is, I want to do different things. If code is an A, or if amount is greater than 5,000, I want to do different things. So since I want to do different things, I can't make the statement, just a second. I can't make the statement, is inventory code equal A, or amount greater than 5,000, do this. Because what is it that I do? Yeah.
So when what you meant by compounding was just that you have processing conditions for the same thing, pretty much?
Yeah, but I mean, Ryan's combining them with an and or an or, and needing the same result.
Okay.
So yeah. Because if I said, if inventory code equals A, or amount is greater than 5,000, then I have to tell it a command to do. And I can't, because one of them wants one thing and one of them wants another. Okay, so I can't give them a, if it's one of these things, do this, because the do this is a different. Anybody listening to this at home? Well, anyway, the do this is a different is not probably the best explanation in the world. Well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, eventually, yes. Sometimes I stop and realize that I'm being recorded, and that's maybe this isn't the clearest explanation. Okay, this is one that we have talked about multiple times. Condition one and either condition two or condition three. Okay? Inventory code has to be an A. If it's not, I'm out of here. Now, if inventory code is an A, then I've got two possibilities. Amount can be greater than 5,000, or amount second can be greater than 200. That was 500 anyway. Amount first can be greater than 500, or amount second can be greater than 200. And all the rules I say about not writing dark color, it looks fine on the on my screen, because the orange actually looks orange. But over there, not so good. Anyway.
It's orange.
Yeah, no, on screens, this looks fine. Up there, the projection unit does not do a good job with it. So here I'm saying, if inventory code equals A, continue on. If not, end if. If not, do nothing, end up. Okay? The end ifs correlate with the circles at the bottom of the flowcharts. So you can see this end if is green, that end if is green. Okay, they go together. If inventory code does equal A, then I am saying one of these two things. This is an or relationship. This or this. So one of these two things has to be true. If amount first is greater than 500, I move okay to message. Else, in other words, if it's not, is amount second greater than 200? If it is, move okay to message. And then notice the end ifs. There's nothing on the no from amount second, and so there is no else. The only else came on the no for amount first, where I asked the second question about amount second. So if you look at it, this end if, this end if, there's only one of them that has an else involved in it. And that's the one that has if amount first is greater than 500. Now, can this one be turned into a compound?
I think it can.
Yeah. Because basically I can say, like I did up here at the top, if inventory code equals A and either amount first is greater than 500 or amount second is greater than 200, move okay to message. Otherwise, do nothing. So there's not going to be any else on the compound because I have nothing to do. So I think the next one may do that. Okay. So up here I've got if inventory code equals A and in parenthesis amount first is greater than 500 or amount second is greater than 200. Note the use of parentheses here in Boolean logic, and gets resolved before ors. That means if we did not have the parentheses, it would treat this like inventory code A and amount first greater than 500, or just amount second greater than 200.
So the parentheses are necessary. Yeah.
So where it says if amount is greater than 200, if no said move okay to nothing and yes said just N, then you couldn't do it.
Wait, we're going to look at the other examples, okay. So I don't want to go there right this second.
Yep.
So we want the logic to be inventory code equals A and either of these. To do this, we need to change the order of operations so that the two things in the OR relationship are grouped together. And we do this by using parentheses. And I guarantee you that concept is going to haunt you for the rest of the semester. So please try to understand it or ask if you don't, because it's going to keep coming back. Okay, so on this one, this is another way that I could write this. I could say, if inventory code equals A, then ask about these two. If amount first is greater than 500 or amount second is greater than 200, move OK to message. End if end if. So that's an alternate way I could write that. Okay? So if you don't like parentheses, that's an alternate way of doing it. If it's A, then ask about the two things in the OR relationship. Okay, this is the one where I start to kind of play around. If I left off the parentheses, then this one says A, an amount first greater than 500, move OK to message. If amount first is not greater than 500, then I still have to ask the OR. Because if I don't get a yes to those two, I still have to ask the OR. If code isn't A, then I still have to ask the OR. Because I'm saying if code is A and amount first is greater than 500. Well, if it's not code A, I still have to ask about the amount second greater than 200. So I've got it both places. Because I have to, if I get a no to either part of, is the code A and is amount first greater than 500, if I get a no to either part, I have to ask the thing that stands alone, which is amount second greater than 200. Okay? So, if that's really what I wanted to ask, come on. If that's really what I wanted to ask, it might make sense to ask it first. Is amount second greater than 200? Move OK. If it's not, then check and see if both of those things are true. So if I really wanted to know, is it A and amount first greater than 500, or just amount second greater than 200, it probably makes sense to ask the just question first. And then it doesn't have to show up multiple times. Okay. So I'm asking the just second first. So it's condition 3 or condition 1 and condition 2. If we stick with what I was calling conditions 1, 2, and 3. Does that make sense? Okay, now I'm getting into, I think, a little more what you asked. If inventory code equals A, then ask one of these two questions. But what I ended up doing was saying move problem, but I didn't do anything if inventory code wasn't A. I didn't move out problem. I didn't do anything. So now I've lost the ability to do a compound. Because if inventory code isn't A, I don't want to do anything. Okay. So I've lost the ability to do a compound because my nodes are different. Okay. And as it turns out, I've also got different yeses.
Okay.
And on the last one, I put that in, so now the not equal to A does so do something, but it's different from what happens if I get a no to these questions in the inside, the amount first and the amount second question. So again, I can't have a compound. There's too many different messages floating around. So I have, if the inventory code is A, keep going, else get out of here and move code problem to message. If it is an A, then check on amount first. If it's not amount first, check on amount second. If it's not amount second, it's a problem. Does that make sense? Yeah.
So, in order to compound something, then it has to, you have to be processing the same thing and the same results?
You have to have the same results.
Under different conditions?
Yeah, well, I mean, here, if I get a yes to this, I want to do one thing. If I get a yes to this, I want to do something else. So if I say a yes to either of these, do something, because the yes to one of them went this message, the answer, the yes to another meant this message. So the messages have to be the same. And I use messages, but these might have been calculations I was doing. And it might be that if the amount first is greater than 500, then I'm going to subtract 10% from the sale. If the amount second was greater than 200, I'm only going to subtract 5%. So I got to have different processing because I'm going to have different results. And with standalone ifs, I can do that. But when I have compounds, then I have to look at these and say, I can tie these two together if the yeses are going to result in the same processing. But if the yeses aren't resulting in the same processing, I can't tie them together. Okay? Questions?
And I think you said this, but also the no's have to be the same message too, right?
Yes. Okay, that's the end of that. And what time is it? Half an hour. Okay, we're going to go down and look at this one. And then we will look at the loops on Thursday. So this is a flowchart that is putting it in context of, first I have to declare my variables, then I have to get some input, then I have to do some work, and then I have to put out some output. Okay? This has not got into looping yet. As I said, we'll look at looping on Thursday. So there's the flowchart and there's the pseudocode. So problem one, I set up memory variables. And I set up a place in memory to hold an ID, a name, a pay per hour, hours worked, pay, and pay after. Then I drop down and I say, take in the input. So here's the input. So I'm taking it in, and ID is 1111, and name is John Doe, and it's being stored in these variables that I set up. Pay per hour is 25, and hours worked is 20. Okay, so I've now got those numbers sitting in memory. So the next thing I do is I say calculate pay equal to pay per hour times hours worked. So I say, okay, pay per hour is what? Pay per hour is 25. Hours worked is 20. 20 times 25 is what?
500.
Okay, so now I have got this memory variable called pay, and it has 500 in it. So now I say calculate pay after, and pay after is after the government's taken its share. Uh-huh. Okay, so pay after is going to be what?
P times 0.8.
Which is?
80%.
80% of pay, which is what? What number am I putting in here in pay after?
Quarter.
One. And then it says output. So let's say I have a screen. I'm going to output 1111 John Doe and pay 500 and pay after 400. So that's what I'm outputting. I'm outputting that. So I took in some input, I did some calculations, and I put out the output. Okay? And that's what data processing is all about. And that's why it used to be called data processing, because you're processing data. Okay? You take in the input, you do the calculations, and you put out the output. Okay, so I own input, output. And in between, the computer does some work. Now, if I had a loop, which we haven't gotten into, but we will do on Friday, on Thursday, if I had a loop here, then I would have, instead of stopping, gone back and got another input, done some more processing, done an output, and I would have to have some kind of a decision in there as to when I was going to stop, such as hitting end of file, which you've already looked at in the homework you're doing on the last three problems. When you hit end of file, you stop. I'd have to have some kind of test for that in here. Okay. So let's look at the second one. Okay, this is exactly the same thing, but now we're looking at, this is a module. Module is spelled with an M, and that looks nothing like an M. Module. It is also a subroutine. So it can be called a module, it can be called a subroutine, and there's probably at least five other names it can be called. So I come in here, and I get my ID and my name and my paper hour and hours work the same way. But now I've taken the processing out of the main line. This is the main line. And I've taken the processing out of the main line. And usually I use that kind of a symbol to mean I've taken it out. And I say, go do this routine. And when you're done, return and continue. So that means go out and do that routine. And when you're done, continue. Why do you do that? Mostly because it's easier to isolate the main line and have all the details in little subroutines as opposed to trying to put everything in one great big long line. Okay, so it's more ease than anything else. In the pseudocode, I do the same thing. Go out and do this. When it's done, return. Okay. So in fact, the output from this is going to be exactly the same. Because I'm taking in the same data, I'm doing the same calculations. When I finish the module, I come back and output it. So the output is going to be exactly the same as it was in number one. Nothing has changed except that I put the processing inside a module as opposed to keeping it in the main line. But the output is going to be exactly the same. Questions? Okay, number three. Number three, I've added in a decision. So, on the first one, I read in, and I read in the ID number, the name. It's probably better to write it over here. That's the pay code. This is the pay per hour. This is the hours worked. And this is the salary. So if I do this processing for Ann Smith, what do I end up with the output being? Try to follow it and tell me what I end up with. For Ann Smith.
It would be 1111 Ann Smith, 1,800.
Right. Anybody buy onto that? So the output for this one would have been 1111 Ann Smith. What else did I ask for output? Pay, which is 1,000, and I asked for pay after, which is 800. So what happened here? It went out to do calculate. After it took in the input, it went out to do calculate. And it asked the question, is pay code equal to H? And for Ann Smith, pay code was not H, it was S. So it got a no to that question. And when it got a no to that question, it said, okay, take the salary, which was 52,000, divide by 52, I'm giving you easy math here, okay, and I end up with 1,000. So pay is 1,000. Then I finish the if statement, and for everybody, I take 80% of pay and make that pay after. So pay after is 800. Then the module is done, so I go back and I write output for Ann Smith, 1111 Ann Smith, 1,800. Now what about Linda French? Linda French is going to be 12121.
Linda French. 1,800.
Same thing. And it's mainly because my data was 25 times 40. 25 times 40 is 1,000. So when I took the is pay code H, calculate pay equal to 25 times 40, so that was 1,000, and pay after is 80% of that, so it was 800 again.
What is the last zero for under Linda French at the bottom?
Salary.
What was the last zero for?
Salary.
Oh, salary. Violations.
Okay, salary.
Yeah.
Okay, do this one. And you have to go through it three times. Again, there's not a loop, but I could run this procedure three times. And every time I run it, I will get a different answer. Okay, later we'll look at this should have been a loop, but it wasn't. Because I stop after I run it once, so I'd have to rerun it to get the second one. Notice I didn't ask you to do a math. I just asked you to put out a message that says what percentage they should be. Cut.
Thank you.
Okay, what's the answer to number five?
Cut 7%.
1111 cut 7% FR 226000000.
Does everybody agree?
Yeah.
Okay. So the only thing really that is showing up here is cut 7% that's not from the input. All the rest of those things are straight copies of the input, which lots of times a report is. Put out the ID number that you took in so you know what record it is. And I missed it, no idea. And then put out the message because the output says message comes next. So put out cut 7%. Then put out the location that came from the input. Put out the department that came from the input. Put out the budget that came from the input. So I'm basically saying, is department greater than 15? Yes, it is. 22 is greater than 15. Is budget greater than 500,000? Yes, it is. So I put out the 7% message. So what about number five? Just give me the cut. What is it?
Number six is 5% cut.
5% cut. And what is number seven?
3%.
Does everybody agree?
Yep.
A 19 was 5%. I mean, six was 5%. And seven, I got a no about the department, so it's only cut 3%. Okay. On number six, I got a yes about the department, and I got a no about the budget, so it was cut 5%. Okay, I'm going to go down to number 15. Because I don't think we're going to get through them all. We can go back if we do have time. And look at the ones where I just gave you the pseudocode. Okay. So go through that and tell me what the results are going to be. This is 15, 16, and 17. Give me the whole answer for number 15 and just the messages are enough for the rest. No, I'm sorry. I meant when you write it out. Is everybody done? Okay, so yes, you're fine.
All right. 41BO. 20,
400,000, 300,000,
cut
6%. Okay. That's what I wanted to catch. This place, this one, I put the message at the end. And the output has to follow where the message is. On the one prior to this, the message was, I think, the second or third field. This one is the last field, and so it has to be in the right place. Okay, so this one got the department was 20, so therefore it's not less than 20, so I took the else. Is the budget greater than 35,000?
Yeah.
Yes. So what message should I be getting?
Cut 7%.
Okay.
Oops.
Huh?
Oops.
Okay. So that should be a cut 7%. Okay, what's the next one? What's the cut message?
5%.
Okay, and that's because department less than 20, you get a cut 5%. Okay, and what about the 17th one?
6.
Because is department less than 20? No, 25 isn't less than 20. Is budget greater than 35,000, 350,000? No, 200 is not greater. So this is going to be an else, so I'm going to get a cut 6%.
Wait, hold on, for number 15, if department is less than 20, but department is 20, it's equal to 20.
So that would still mean the else, right? Is department less than 20?
If. All right, sorry. I'm going to be paying attention. I'll be honest.
That's an interesting approach. I'm not paying attention. I'll resolve. I'll give you the answers. Little shaky there. Okay, so what is this one going to be?
Number
18. 18, 19, and 20, so do those. Thank you. Yep.
So, just for number 18, it says that the department is 20, but the department gets 20. And then it's 20, so that means that that does not meet the criteria, correct?
Right.
Okay, just making sure.
Yep. And so that's an interesting one. What are the results for 18? Problem 18. This is the guy that's not paying attention.
Let's hope this time I'm right.
Okay, so 18, what are you getting for an answer?
60%.
Yeah, right, but I'm really only interested in the message.
Okay.
You said what?
6%.
Okay, and what, anybody else?
I got
no message.
Yeah, I got nothing.
I agree. This one comes in and it says, is department less than 20? 20 is not less than 20. Okay? So that means it doesn't go into this if, it drops out. And on the way out, it does nothing. So this one has no message. Okay? It would print out all the other things. It would print out the ID, the location, the department, the budget, the spent, all the other messages. But the message itself, there would be no message. Okay? There's not going to be any message. Because it was not less than 20. Now what about the next one?
6%.
Okay, so 6%. So 14 is less than 20. So it goes in and asks about the budget. Is the budget greater than 300,000, 350,000? No. So it takes the else. So you're getting the 6% on that one. What about the last one?
No message.
No message. Because again, when you compare the department, it's not working correctly. Whoops. Okay, what about this one? We've got time to do one more. Right, but what happens with if department's not less than 20? Now I've got an else associated with it.
I
Anybody got some numbers for me?
Yep.
What?
5%, 6%, 5%.
Does anybody agree?
Yeah.
Okay. Your homework, if your name appears on this list, and if you came in late, come sign it. If your name appears on the list, your homework is to do the ones we didn't do. So good luck figuring out which ones we didn't do. You will be able to look at the smart board notes and see which ones we didn't do. But your homework is to fill in the blanks. Okay, so we stopped here at 23. And then, so from 23 on. And then back at the beginning, where did we stop?
Seven, I believe.
We did 5, 6, and 7. So you have to do those. So essentially, if you want to do them all, if that's easier, have a good time. But if your name is on the list, you don't have to do the ones we did in class. You have to do the ones we didn't do in class.
So you said we did 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 14.
It's 5, 6, 7. We did like 15 or 19.
Right.
So take between 7 to 15 you have to do. And then it's from 23 on.
As I said, it's on the smart board. So take a look at the smart board.
It's already there.
Well, it will go up tonight.
Based on the attendance chart.
Based on the attendance chart.
That's what we did here.
So if your name is on this attendance chart, then I am going to just require that you do the ones we didn't do in class. People that are home have to do the whole thing. Now, they can look at the smart board too if they're smart enough and get the right answers for the ones we did in class. But it's amazing how many people don't do the smart board until later, and so whatever. So people at home, you should have looked at the smart board if you didn't. Because they'll have the answers. And somebody's coming up to sign.
Okay.
Next Thursday? Yeah, next Thursday. It's due. It's like a homework assignment. So it's due a week from Thursday.
Emails to you?
Yep. And you can just email the cut messages like we were doing here at the end. You don't have to do the copy of the data.
What if you want to send the full copy?
Feel free.
Okay.
Did you say we need the full messages?
Just the messages.
Okay, not all the other stuff.
All the other stuff you don't need. Because
okay.
That's copy and paste.
I almost forgot to sign that.
Okay, good you did. Or you'd have to do the whole thing.
I remember one class I actually forgot to sign that. I'm like,
It doesn't matter as long as you're around. You know, this time it does. But what I have to do is report anybody that's missing for 3 weeks. So if you're missing from 3 weeks, I have to report you and they have to nail with me for you.
Well, I always try to email work every Thursday. That way you know that I think I'm here.
That's right. As long as I hear from you, but if 3 weeks go by and I don't hear from you, then you become history.
I'm going to see if I can work out a number.